Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Comic Chronicle Podcast. I'm your host, Society's Mutant/Metahuman, Dakota Morgan, coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. And right now, I have to say, I don't have an interview for you guys. Sort of not. I am coming at you guys with an older episode of the Film World Podcast, an old podcast I used to host back last year sort of thing, a few months ago. This one is like last 2017, early 2018. And right now is because due to Godzilla, King of the Monsters coming out this fucking week. I'm a huge kaiju fan, really fucking huge. And with Godzilla, King of the Monsters coming out this week, I wanted to pay tribute to that. So I am giving you guys the interview I did with Kurt Carley, a suit performer who gave me plenty of helpful tips back when, as a friend of mine too, and also as a guy who works in the business. He's played Underworld Lycans and stuff like that, but he's also played fucking Godzilla. He was a suit performer for Godzilla in the 1998 American film, and he talks all about that, suit performing in general. He's an overall fucking an amazing guy, tells wonderful fucking stories, gets me hooked on it, and I still am trying to get a super performing job in acting. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's a little bit weirder than usual, than our usual thing here, but this is our little tribute to Godzilla, King of the Monsters, coming out this week. See it in theaters, folks. See it in theaters. And to now, we tune into our older interview of the Film World Podcast with Kurt Carley. And today I have a very special guest, one whose work you have seen many, many times, I swear. Go ahead and introduce yourself, good man.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kurt Carley.
Welcome on to the show, Kurt. It is an absolute honor to have you on here, man. And you do some acting, some very interesting acting, might I add. One that not a lot of people really do, actually.
Yes, there's a kind of a small fraternity and small sorority of people here in the business that do what I do. I'm what they call a suit performer. Mm-hmm. Reader's Digest version would be I play rubber monsters in movies and TV shows with a zipper up the back.
Which, by the way, how do you, kind of to start off, how do you get into something like that? Because I've known plenty of actors, but then no one has ever said, I want to be the suit performer or want to work at, do that type of performance and whatnot. I mean, that's got to be something that's incredibly tough to get into.
It can be difficult to get into. Some of the people I've worked with, they've fallen into it. Some people, they grew up wanting to do that. And most of the people I know that grew up wanting to do it, they ended up working in the special effects shops here in Los Angeles. And that is a great way to get into this kind of work, because the shops that make the creatures, it's not unusual at all for the people who work in the shop sometimes to be able to get into the creature costumes that they help create.
Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic to hear. It really is. And is that how you landed your job as a suit performer?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I started many years ago back in New York City doing Little Shop of Horrors. Through a strange series of events, I was an understudy as the plant in the off-Broadway production. And after doing that, I got hooked up with a puppet company in New York City, and I worked for them doing puppets, large figures that would walk around, say, like a shopping mall or an event. And after being in New York for 10 years, completely out of the blue in, gosh, it must have been 1996, I got a call out of the blue from Los Angeles saying the producers of Independence Day are looking for someone to play Godzilla. And so I flew out a few days later and had my first meetings and auditions to be Godzilla, and I was very fortunate to get a job working on the film, and that is how I got started here in Los Angeles playing monsters and creatures and stuff like that.
Which is, that's fantastic. That's like kind of like luck of the, that's kind of like just random. You never know. You hear stories about that, like all of a sudden it just one day it just pops up. You just never know what can happen, and that's the beauty a little bit of the business, I suppose.
Yes, it was when I woke up Monday morning. When I woke up Monday morning, if you would have told me on Thursday you're going to have a meeting with the producers of Independence Day at their bungalow on the lot at 20th Century Fox, I would have said, "Uh-huh, yeah, right."
Yeah.
So, and that's how fast it happened. Yeah.
Wow. And how does that, as a suit performer too, after 10 years of work, like as myself, I'm a huge giant monster fan. I love the 1998 Godzilla film. Helped inspire my own monster movie that we just put up on YouTube a couple months ago.
Okay.
What was it like? Like, as a suit performer, like, what was it to take on that mantle of that major iconic character of Godzilla? Like, what was it kind of like doing that?
First of all, it was great. I had a really great time. I worked on that film for, like, almost 9 months.
Wow.
Not counting all of the training and stuff that we did prior to going into full-time production. I had never worked on, I had only done Little Shop of Horrors, and I had done that in New York, and I'd done it at regional theaters all over the country, and these other large character puppets that I talked about earlier. But when I got to Los Angeles to work on the film, that was a whole other experience. It was a whole other level. And I got to meet so many wonderful men and women who work in the industry, like the sculptors, the people who sculpt the creature out of clay.
Oh, wow.
The designers who, you know, the man who designed the costume, who designed the creature, and as I said, the sculptors. And then there's all the people who paint the, you know, after the suit is done, they have to paint that suit, and all the wonderful, talented men and women who paint it, and then all the talented men and women who the seamstresses who have to sew that thing together and have to make all the stuff that you wear underneath the costume so that it looks right, you know, the corsets and all of that stuff, and you know, and the mold makers who have to make the molds of the sculpture, and the mechanics who have to, you know, have to like mill and create all of the special levers and gears and all that stuff that go into so that, you know, Godzilla's eyes can move and its mouth can open and its tongue can do. It's pretty amazing, all the people I got to meet. So it was a lot of work. It was a lot of physical work. And the cool thing was when you get to go when you get to go to the 1/24th scale sets, where they have the 1/24th scale street set of New York City
with my God,
the small cars and the light lampposts and the mailboxes, and then I'm in the 1/24th scale Godzilla suit.
Beautiful.
That was very cool.
Wow, that's got to really help you get into character too. You got, I mean, as you probably, I don't know if did you ever see any of the old Japanese films as well? Were they an inspiration to that? Because then, if so, then you got to take a look at that and be like, I am in my own world. Like, it's got to be amazing to do that.
It was, and this is a story which is going to sound like I'm making it up, but I'm not. When I was 5, I went to a matinee of Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. And I was watching Godzilla, you know, do his stuff on screen, and I sat there as like a fifth grader, and I said, I'm going to do that one day. And I kind of forgot about it until I got on set one day in the costume on the street set, and I was like, oh my gosh, I said I was going to do this one day, and here I am. So yeah, that was and that's a true story.
That's I can believe it. Like, I know people out there are like, oh, I'm calling baloney on that, or bull, and it's all honesty, I can say, after talking to people, it absolutely happens. Like, you know, Bob Bergen, who does the voice of Porky Pig from Looney Tunes, he's done it for the past many, he's done it for, I think, like 20, 30 years now. He had the same thing. He saw Porky Pig, and he's like, I want to do that role. And the next thing you know, he's that character.
Yeah.
So it does happen. And that's a beautiful, like, you just, that's kind of a testament. People find out, like, you know what you want to do when you're a child, kind of go for it, and then, right. or just kind of see what happens, because you can do it. Like, that's a beautiful story, because one, I love that old-time Godzilla movie, I really do. So, and I'm probably aging you a little bit by saying old-time, I know, but...
I know, that's quite all right.
Okay, and so, that's like, that's a beautiful story, I'm not going to lie, and as a monster fan myself... Like, that's got to be amazing. And, of course, correct me if I'm wrong, you did play the baby Godzillas as well, correct?
Yes, myself and about 6, 7, 8 other guys, and I played baby Godzillas also, yes.
Wow. Which one was – now I know it's probably an easy question. It's probably a stupid question to ask. Which one was a little bit more fun to play?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I think I'm going to be political and say they both were, because they both had their – pluses, separate pluses.
Mm-hmm.
The baby got a lot of the times when we were playing the baby Godzillas, we were bolted to the stage floor.
Ooh.
Because we were pretty static. So mm-hmm. Because you were bolted to the stage floor, you could be pretty aggressive with your movements, and really show what the baby Godzilla suit could do, because mm-hmm. they were really marvelously made, and the mechanics inside of them made them really articulate well, and mm-hmm. Made the performance even higher with us inside of them. But the Mother Godzilla, that was because we would shoot a lot of that in pieces, in terms of there's some scenes that we shot with the Mother Godzilla where I wasn't in the full costume. We had a suit that we called the Bolero suit that uh-huh. was just, it was kind of like a Godzilla leotard in a way, where the arms had arms, I had the chest and the back and the fins, and I had the head on, of course, mm-hmm. but I had no legs on.
Jeez. Because
they knew that they were going to be shooting some scenes where the legs were never going to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And there were also times where, which made it easier, because some of the scenes I was tied to a sled on a track, and they would push me through tunnels and things like that, or through walls head first. And it just would have been a lot easier to not have the tail attached and mm-hmm. the legs and the feet and all that stuff. It was just so unnecessary for the shot that we were trying to accomplish.
That just, and how often you get to say, it was a Godzilla unitard. I mean,
so yeah, it's. Like I said, we called it the Bolero suit, but it was kind of like, let me backtrack on the unit, on the leotard thing. But it was like from the waist up, it was a Godzilla costume.
Yeah.
From the waist up. That's more accurate.
It does sound like they push you through the ringer a little bit. Now, kind of going forward on that, because, oh my God, like there's you have done a lot of great work, to say the least, and I kind of want to talk about a little bit of it all, because, like, moving onwards from Godzilla, you were in Underworld, might I add, and, like, you were the Lycans in there, and how tough is it? Like, those guys probably look like they put you through the ringer a little bit, to say the least.
It was myself and some other really talented suit performers and stunt people who did those Underworld movies. Now, I've only been in the first three. They've made, I think, 5 total
Underworld movies. Something like that.
And I was only in the first three.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Brian Steele on the first three, and then also some really great stunt guys who wore the stunt suits and did all the actions, the real hardcore action stuff that I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wore one of the hero suits that, you know, had all the articulation in the like with Godzilla, with the eyes and the eyebrows and the teeth and the mouth and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be clear. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that to play one of these creatures, you have to be, you know, a professional athlete level. No, I want to be clear about that. But
yeah.
You certainly do need a certain level of fitness to be able to do the job.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It really sounds like it, because he said that, like, with Godzilla, they put you on a sled, they slid you through stuff, and it's like, it really does sound like, I can't imagine, you can't be fragile, I guess you could say is the easier way to put it. You can't be a fragile person when it comes to being a super former.
No, I don't know how long you'd last inside the costume. One day on Godzilla, we were shooting something on second unit, mm-hmm. and it was just a scene where the camera travels down a hallway, you know, a door opens up and you see two baby Godzillas fighting over a fish. Oh. And I think we did that for about 5 hours. And we were bolted again to the stage floor. It will test, it's a test of your stamina. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it sounds like it's not for the heavy of hearted, man. It really doesn't. So, kind of on a level of difficulty here, like, how long would it say you would, in order to be suited up, a standard suit up, like this, if you can say standard, would you think you're in a chair kind of getting suited up?
Let's just say with four dressers, probably about 20 minutes.
Oh, that ain't too bad. Okay, that ain't too bad at all. I mean, I'm thinking like an hour, hour and a half. You see some makeup stuff, it takes like 3 hours. So you're like, holy shit, hold on, it's a suit take.
Right. But once again, those are really talented people because, you know, you just don't have to get in the suit, but you got to get all the electronics hooked up.
Yeah, that's true.
Make sure all the remote control stuff is working. Mm-hmm. And then there's always, you know, it's not unusual to have cosmetic touch-ups done before you're ready for camera. If I remember correctly, it took about four people to get me dressed. They also had, after you were dressed, when you were waiting for camera, mm-hmm. They would have special benches. They had a special bench made for me, which was really great. We kind of nicknamed it the praying bench, where you could walk up to it and put your knees down on a pad, and then there was a higher pad in front of that where you could lay your chest down on there and just let the prayer bench take your body weight and the weight of a costume, so you could just relax.
Wow.
Because sitting there with the costume on, it's not unusual to get in costume and then wait for hours to work. Mm-hmm. And when you're fully dressed in a costume waiting to work, just wearing the costume for hours on end will start to drain your batteries, even though you're not doing anything. That prayer bench that they made me was really great.
Wow, that sounds a little behind the scenes look at here. I mean, because that sounds amazing. Do you still have it, to say the least, or is it kind of like you take it with you to different places, or?
Oh, the prayer bench?
Yeah.
No. That was made. They asked me what I wanted, and I told them, and they made me exactly what I wanted, and it was great. But I don't know where it is. It's probably in a trash heap somewhere.
Oh.
No.
It sounds like you could come and use it for different performances and whatnot.
It could have, but yeah. It would have been difficult to convince production to ship that all the way to Budapest.
That's true. This kind of leads me to the next question. I like to ask people who have been on productions and whatnot this question: is, have you gotten any cool gifts from studios or from fans or anything like that?
Usually, after it's not unusual after doing a film to get like a gift from production.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, it's like jackets.
Oh, okay.
And jackets are really cool, sweaters or things like that with the name of the film. Embroidered somewhere on the apparel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a really nice lighter from Matthew Broderick.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
A Zippo lighter that said Gojira 1998 on it.
Oh, okay. Now that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But usually it's apparel of some kind, clothing, a jacket, mm-hmm. like I said, stuff like that.
Have you ever gotten to keep a piece of a suit or anything like that? Now, I know you can't. You could maybe get in trouble, but we're going to keep it quiet. But don't worry. If you got to keep.
No, I've never. Because generally, those things are locked up at the end of the day.
Mm. And they make sure.
So, I've never, nor have I ever had a desire to really keep anything, of anything I've worn. So no, I don't have any. I've never kept anything of anything I've worn.
Okay.
Plus, I would have to make someone do extra work if I took something.
That's true. That is true when it comes to that. That's like you take an arm or you take a claw or something like that. That could be like 3 hours of work. I didn't think about that. That's true. Be like, this asshole took a suit piece.
Right.
So kind of going on, what would you say? I mean, you've been in the business for a while now, and what would you say, including all the work you've done, was the best kind of suit you've ever had to wear? What was like the most comfortable, the most fun to play, all in one?
Well, that's kind of an unfair question, but I'll and the reason I say it's a little unfair is because it depends on what the creature looks like.
True.
And so, you know, like the body position you had to be in for Godzilla was uncomfortable. It would be uncomfortable if you didn't have to wear the suit. I want to be very clear, though, that that suit was made for me. It was made beautifully, and it was made in the most comfortable, lightest way it could be made.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. And I want to be clear, I'm not complaining, but when your main body position is where your head and chest is a foot or two over your toes, and you have to maintain that body position for hours at a time, that's certainly harder than playing a sleaze stack in Land of the Lost where you get to stand up straight.
That's true.
So that's I would say I was in a short film called Batman Dead End.
Ooh.
And where I played the Predator that fought Batman, and that what I liked about that was it was a beautiful suit they made for me, and since I was such the that it's a short film and I was such the center of attention along with Batman, that I really enjoyed that shooting that. Don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed everything I've done.
Oh, I bet.
You know, I enjoyed fighting Kate Beckinsale in in the second Underworld movie, the tunnel where she sticks a knife in my head, you know. And also Scott Speedman in that movie too. But once again, every suit dictates how you're going to move and what your experience is going to be. Like I said, like Land of the Lost, those were great costumes made by the people at Spectral Motion. And they were beautiful. They were custom made for you, and had a great time working in those too.
Oh, that's cool. As a builder myself, who's actually taking classes and whatnot to learn how to build kind of suits that for performers and that, such as yourself, what kind of and to all the builders out there who may be listening, because we have a pretty good builder audience as well for the arts, is what kind of recommendations would you give even to myself, so I know to say if you're building a suit for an actor, a performer as you, what would be some of the things that would help performers out in a suit?
Well, let's see. Maybe if you could use your imagination and imagine what it would be like to be in the suit for hours at a time. I know I worked on a project one time where when the creature's mouth was closed, I could not breathe.
Ooh.
And you know, on the outside it looks great and beautiful, but when you're inside working and exerting a lot of effort and you're breathing heavy and then the mouth closes and you have no control over the mouth closing, your air's cut off. You know, little things like that. And also you know, there's that balance between making the suit look cool, like making it look great, and having the performer be able to work. Now, every suit performer I know, we rarely get, you know, vision's really important, and we rarely get to, you know, a full field of vision. The only time that really happens is when you're wearing a costume where you use your own eyes, where the, you know, the eyes of the creature are my actual eyes. So I would say, Just try to put yourself in the suit performer's shoes. Use your imagination. Like, okay, what's it going to be like to wear this thing for 8 hours?
Yeah, that does make sense. We want to make sure you can breathe, because the one sounded like a death sentence at some points. Like, it's just, like, you can't breathe out of it. Like, that's what I get kind of curious on, is if sometimes when you have a suit like that, if they give you like an oxygen tank or some breathing thing or something like that inside any of them. Have you ever had to do that with any suits?
I was in a suit one time for a TV show where the best way for them to put me into the suit was to sew me into the suit. Ooh. And glue me in.
Oh, God.
And I had to be in a water tank. Mm-hmm. Underwater. And they did have a respirator for me, an octopus, whatever they call it, that scuba divers use. And that was all well and good, but I had to, and I knew, like, you know, they told me, Kurt, you know, the only way that we can really make this work is by sewing you in and gluing you in. So I had to prepare myself mentally so that I knew that when I got into that tank, that I was going to have to be prepared for that sensation of that layer of water that's going to fill up slowly from my feet, between the suit and my skin. It's going to slowly fill up and then go up over my nose and my mouth.
Oh, wow.
And so that I wouldn't have a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I didn't have a panic attack because I had prepared myself for that sensation, which is a little, because also working on you is, you know, that, like, they can't get you out of this easily. You're sewn into it and you're glued into it. They just can't pull a zipper down and get you out, you know. So but once again, I had a very good dressing crew. The suit was made very well, and also the stunt coordinator was there the whole time, watching out for my safety.
I'd hope. It sounds, people will hear, and sometimes you probably get a lot, they hear this stuff, and then they're like, why would you ever put yourself through it? But to a guy like me, who's actually interested in being a suit actor at one point in his life, and I still would be, I'd like to take it up, at least do it once in my life to kind of test it out, see the waters and whatnot, is, right. It's got to sound scary, but it also just sounds like a blast. Like, it's kind of sounds like fun, to say the least. Maybe it's me being crazy, I don't know, but it
You're
does sound like a lot of fun.
That story I just told you about being in the water tank, and I think we started shooting that at like midnight. And
oh, dark water. Oh.
Well, I was in a, we were inside. I was in a tank for one person. I think actually they told me it was the same tank that they used in Batman and Robin that Mr. Freeze's wife was put in, I think.
Now,
said.
That's cool. What did you play as, if you don't mind me asking, if you can say currently right now, what kind of suit were you in? Like, what kind of creature?
I was like a merman kind of creature from the Black Lagoon kind of suit for a TV show a long time ago called Special Unit 2.
Ooh.
That was on the old United Paramount Network.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a throwback.
Back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that is definitely a throwback.
That was one of those instances where I had a blast. After, you know, I got in the tank, and the water was very warm and comfortable, and I was having a good time. I was thinking, man, I'm getting paid to do this, and I'm relaxed and comfortable, and I'm having no problem.
You're kind of living the dream. You get paid to pretend a little bit and paid to be a monster, you know, like we all act as monsters when we're kids. Parents will say differently in different forms, but you know, it's, you get paid, you get to live a dream, like, and it's a fantastic dream. So kind of my last question for you, good man, is, because I don't want to take too much of your day up from you, is to a guy like me who would love to be able to do this work, how does one kind of, you said kind of earlier, like, how does one, myself here in Phoenix, kind of get kind of into that game a little bit, kind of become, and at least get the role or whatnot. Where does one start? Say if you're starting from me.
You know, if you want to just be a suit performer, go to where the work is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work in Atlanta now, from what I understand, in North Carolina.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know how much suit performing there is there. I'm assuming that The suits are mostly made out here in Los Angeles. I could be wrong, but I live here, and so I know all the shops that make them and the people that make them, what have you. But I would say you got to go where the fish are, and if I'm still correct that most of the suits are being made here in Los Angeles, I would say get out here and start to, you know, so much of the business from what I have experienced is networking and meeting people and knowing people, and try to do what you can to get in, and maybe you'll be lucky one day like I was when I was in fifth grade and I saw Godzilla and said, I'm going to do that one day, and then your opportunity comes, and be ready when your opportunity presents itself. But it's so much of who you, it's part of who you know, and also once you are lucky enough to get that first job, do be really great, because if you are good and you're easy to work with on set, people will recommend you for other work, because nobody wants to work with a jerk.
I've directed a few things myself and currently working on a few things. Let me tell you, yeah, definitely no one wants to work with a jerk.
Right. So if you're, if you show up on time and you smell good and you're nice to people and you can do the work, that goes a long way in helping you to secure more work down the road.
Ooh. Beautiful. Thanks for the advice. And I know other people probably are in my shoes listening to this are going to be like, all right, so they're going to take that to the heart and whatnot too and everything. Well, thank you, Kurt, for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure, man.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I've always kind of wanted to get the scoop on what it's like to be a suit actor. And you've really given us, myself and the viewers and all the listeners, that kind of delve into the world. Because like I said, I love to be able to get in that work. Yes, I write, direct, do all this same stuff. And I've taken a few acting gigs as well. Love to be able to get into suit acting. So if you ever need anybody, Kurt, I'll work for free. I will do it for free the first time. Just if you ever need anything,
send me your stats, and I'll see what I can do.
Sweet, thank you, Kurt. Now kind of plugging you a little bit. Plug away. Where can people find you? What upcoming projects? Where can I find you on social media?
I actually have a couple of films that are quote unquote in the pipeline that are supposed to be coming out. I'm not sure when. If they're going to be coming out this year or not. The last I knew, a film I worked on was called Exploit, but however, that title of that film could change. And of course, I'm not in charge of naming the films. And a few years ago, I worked on a film called Crabs. I am still not sure when that's coming out, but hopefully I would love to see that come out this year. I'm looking for work. So I'm available also a little bit in your, like you in your boat. But if you want to check out my webpage, it's kurtcarley.com. My demo reel is there on the front page, and also another interview I did a few years ago on a podcast about what I do. You can catch up with what I'm doing there on kurtcarley.com.
Sweet. And folks, I've been to the website. You won't be disappointed. You'll look and be like, man, this guy works. And people say in the entertainment, if you're in the entertainment business, the creative arts, people say, you know, they don't do nothing. They don't work for their money. But 100%, Kurt, you work for your money.
Thank you. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Like, you work hard, man. You work hard. And so thank you for coming on, Kurt. I will let you go, and I'll make sure I'll talk to you later, and I'll make sure you get all the information on this episode as well, man.
Fantastic. I'd love to listen to it. Thank you.
Sweet. Thank you, Kurt. I will talk to you later, good man.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Kurt Carley, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of Film World. And thank you, Kurt, again for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure. And thank you for allowing us to delve into the world of suit acting. Folks, you know where to find us. And if you don't, go ahead and follow Film World. That's on the FanCorp Network. Go ahead and follow us on social media at RealFanCorp on Twitter and Instagram. The FanCorp Network on Facebook, and the FanCorp Network YouTube page to stay tuned with live action stuff as well as so much more. So thank you, folks. Make sure you go ahead and follow us on there to stay in tune with Film World, Comic Chronicle, and all the different shows. And stay classy, Hollywood.